So, you know, the American experience, the people that make up America are a very diversified bunch of people. We come from all these different countries. A lot of European though, right? A lot of us are the same. We trace our lineage back to the same place. I grew up in Southern America. And luckily, like you, if you're listening to this, unless you're really extremely old, we didn't live through the days of racism, sexism toward women and children, people of gay people, to the level that they did, say, 100 years ago. I don't think anybody could argue with that, any reasonable person. And growing up the way I did, when you grow up like I did, and again, this is not political. This is just me talking and riffing. So if you, there's no way you should take insult to anything I say. I grew up as a poor white kid, but not uncommon to the, you know, hundreds of poor white kids that were around me. We lived in a trailer park. Early on when I was younger, shit, we kind of moved when rent came due. Like, I remember that. I remember moving apartments like every 3 or 4 or 5 months. Whenever my mom would get up and get behind and bang, we'd leave out. But when you go through that cycle, you don't get to live in the nicest places going forward because your reputation precedes you, right? And it's hard to get a lease on a nice apartment. Even now I do rental checks. And so my mom wouldn't have been able to rent a place from me. Huh, think about that. So this is where I come up. And so as you're growing older and the world is changing and you hear in your mind this idea that privilege or white privilege or financial privilege more so. And you can see where a person in that situation is like, what are you talking about? We don't have anything. And you realize that all you can experience and that all you're experiencing is your experience. And so it wasn't until I graduated high school, I go into the Army, where I meet a lot of people, African-American, Hispanic, Filipino, right? We had a guy from, one of the foreign Russian countries, Armenia. Like, in my squad, I'm the only white dude. But the one thing that we all have in common is we're poor, our families are poor, and we didn't have money to go to college, or we didn't want to go to fucking jail. Like, that's the bond, the band of brothers. Now, it's a little different today. Today you have kids, they have options. When I graduated high school, there was no internet. I didn't even know what a fucking college loan was. Why would you get a loan to go to school? I didn't even like school. So the thought of me borrowing money to do that, you're crazy. Now, I'd work my way through college, and I went to college for a couple years where I paid for it, well, for 1 year. And then I was like, shit, I don't want to do this for another 4 years, and I ended up going into the military. And shortly after going into the military, I'm in Iraq. And I'm in Iraq with a dude from Chicago who grew up as a vice lord. He's 19 years old. The only thing he had going for him is that he had never actually been arrested, because, hear him tell it, he ran real fast. And he had the tattoos, spoke the language, knew all the music, and me and him are forced to live together. Like, we ain't got no choice. He's poor, I'm poor. He's from the streets there. I'm from in the South in Texas. Poor white kid. He's a poor black kid. Oh, and guess who's with us? A dude named Lopez. Now, Lopez is our gunner, but Lopez has some magic fucking abilities. Lopez, when he's asleep, his eyes are open. He looks stoned, and he's asleep. So this is our gunner. We have to constantly look up and say, yo, man, you sleeping or watching? He's asleep. Lopez had like narcolepsy, and it was a trip. He could sleep with his eyes open, like he's actually asleep and his eyes are open. Crazy. He'd get drunk, pass out, eyes wide open, and he's asleep. So these are the characters I'm growing up with. And the one thing we all had in common We're all broke, man. We came from poor families. Being a private in the army in a war zone was the most money any of us had ever made. We'd look at car pictures. I was going to buy a Mercedes because I was stationed in Germany and now I'm in Iraq. That's what I wanted to spend my money on. But it's during this time that I get to experience people who explain to me that, yeah, actually being black is harder. Like, cops do actually pull you over. That's true. And of course, we're boys, we're friends, right? Like, we hang out. You got the Band of Brothers thing going on. Even though we're from different places, different cultures, at this moment, we need each other to stay alive. And we had a guy named Lyles. Now, Lyles was a trip. In his helmet, Lyles kept a picture of his wife, his mother, his grandmother, and something else. I forget what the other one was. And about every hour on the hour during the ground war in Iraq, Lyles would look at these pictures. And finally, we'd be like, what are you doing, man? Put that shit up. Like, it became like an omen. Like, you didn't want to be standing next to the dude, but he's so fixated on what he's about to lose that he's not invested in the war. He's not right here. He's not present. He's not, you know, shit, at least Lopez, when he's asleep, he's in the gun. Like, all he's got to do is wake up and start blasting. But Lyles, he's got his helmet off because we keep pictures inside our helmets. We put pictures in zip bags, put them of our loved ones and put them in our helmet. And then you wear your dog tags, and that's one of the ways they can identify you when your ass gets blown up. Because that shit happens. And the night before the ground war in Iraq, I was a combat engineer. My specialty is to remove landmines. This is what I'm here for. So in that time, you'd have a human remove landmines because a human was cheaper than a tank. We don't want our tanks to blow up. So the sappers, the 12 Bravo combat engineers, would clear the path and make sure that the tankers could get through, the infantry could get through. But in the meantime, we got to walk through the enemy's bullshit and clear a path. Hence the term engineers lead the way. Normandy, storming the beaches. Engineers are going in first to push up Bangalore torpedoes to blow the Constantino wire out so troops can get through. This was my job. And we were kind of proud of it, as weird as that sounds. We didn't have anything else. This is the first certificate I'd ever gotten. I'm, quote, a specialist now. I'm a specialist at pulling landmines out of the ground. Landmines. And people say to me, I don't even know how we could get started investing. It seems so complicated. My specialty at 19 years old was to remove landmines so tanks could get through, so we could go kill people. But investing is, you know, it's scary. I mean, what if you bought that rental house and the renter didn't pay you? Says the 32-year-old man with a job, good credit score, and money in the bank. As if that's a barrier, as if that's a challenge. And yet you look back through history and you see young men being thrown into challenges. But Specialist Lyles, he couldn't get it going, man. He just kept looking at the pictures because, you know what? He had decided he thought he might die. He got scared. He's gonna die. And then you start panicking and you start pacing. And you start looking at pictures. I've seen men do this. And if you've ever served in the military, you know what I'm talking about if you've ever been in combat zone. Some people don't make it. They start freaking out. They start pacing. They get fucking sick. Like they're sick, like they have the flu. They start freaking out. They're not responding. It's a little bit like PTSD, but times fucking 10 in the moment. And it ain't always the guy you think. You think the big tough guy, he's going to be the guy. He's going to be okay. It's not like that. It's not like that. I saw a lieutenant surrender his commission on the battlefield. He surrendered his commission. He fucking quit on the battlefield. While 18-year-old Private Lyles stares at pictures of his family. My boy Lopez, wake me up when it's time to shoot people. Shit, it had already been settled with him. It's just another day. My friend that was from Chicago and was a vice lord. Shit, they call it Chirac. He'd been in this. People have been shooting in his area since he was a baby. What are you scared of, Lyles? You little bitch. Like, I remember him doing that. We had to pull him off. Because guess what? Even though he had been in an area where people were shooting at him, guess what? It ain't fun. So he's getting a little edgy himself. And starting to see Lyles as a bad omen. Lyles was now becoming a liability. He was so fixated on what he was going to lose. See, the secret to combat, and I'm no combat expert. I've been in a couple firefights. I don't know if that makes me a combat expert. I was deployed to Iraq and Bosnia. I saw a little action. There's people who saw a lot more, and there's people who saw a lot less. But I know what it's like to have another human being and see them, and they shoot fucking bullets at you, and you got to kill him, and he's trying to kill you. I know what that's like. And what I know when that happens, you have the five. The reason you have the band of brothers is I need this dude. I need this dude because if that dude pops out when I'm over here, he's going to drop him. And I know that. So when I go to run left, I don't need to watch over here. He's got me. I don't need to worry about that. See what I'm saying? And so this band of brothers things begins to develop and it becomes this self, this second sense. And that inside of that mode of survival, just trying to survive, and if there's anything I miss from the military, it's this one thing. If I miss anything, it's this. Sometimes just surviving feels good. See, because in Bosnia, I ran patrol for UN food inspectors, for bringing in food, mostly from the UN, the Blue Red Cross. And we would have to protect it. You got to drive it from port to the different cities to distribute it without it getting hijacked. And there's only about six fucking armies between point A and B that might like to take your stuff. And so we would ride like in the Wild West. One Humvee in the back, locked and loaded. One Humvee in the middle, locked and loaded. One Humvee in front, locked and loaded. Let's go. And we don't just stop. If they want to stop, we got a protocol for stopping. And when we stop, we set up, we get in our gun positions, and I need to know that that guy over there is doing what the fuck he's supposed to do. And if he is, band of brothers. It's unstoppable. Like the things you can accomplish at 19, 20 years old with the guidance of a 25, a 28, a 30, 35, sprinkled in some 40-year-olds overseeing the whole thing is you have this rank structure as this information comes down and goes up. But at the end of the day, you've spent time, you've studied, you know what you're supposed to do. You've been doing the drill over and over and over. Everything's been broken down very simply into simple to understand tasks. And the tasks don't get any higher or any harder than what you're being paid to understand. And you're given time because repetition is the mother of skill. And your skill increases. But at some point, you step onto the battlefield and it's you and it's that guy and you have a gun and he has a gun. And you don't know him. See, this is the fucked up part. He may be there and doesn't even want to be there. He's probably just like Private Lyles here. He just wants to go home. He's got a wife, a mom, a grandmother. And this is where you find yourself in time and history. And I have to kill that guy. I don't get the luxury of liking him. Because if an enemy combatant brings a gun onto the battlefield, he dies. That's how it works. You don't hope. You don't say, hey, please put down your gun. You kill him. And on our side, there's no surrender. There's no protocol for surrendering for U.S. soldiers. There wasn't in our situation. We're not practicing that. It's not an option. As long as you have means to resist, you resist. But Private Pyle broke down and he was already going into himself and he's already losing. The resistance isn't even in front of us. His resistance is at home. And he's breaking down. And my friend from Chicago is just cleaning weapons, telling stories, laughing. Just taking it as it comes. What's the next challenge? Who's in front of us? Who's behind us? Who do we need to talk to? And who do we need to deal with? And there's some simplicity in this idea of just surviving. I didn't die. High five. That is it. And when life becomes that, what you think about comes about, and what you focus on grows. That's it, man. And that task becomes real simple. And children are sent to fight these. Children. And grown people. I don't know if I should invest. It seems so risky. You don't even understand risk. That's not risk. You know what the risk is? Not doing it. I'm going to ask you to be Private Lyles. Pull out the picture. Pull out the picture in your life. Your mom, husband, wife, grandkids. Look at them. It's 10 years out from today. You're going to say, well, I didn't know. I didn't know I needed to be responsible for building my own. I didn't know I needed to take care of myself. Or, you know, you're going to do the Private Lyles thing? I think I'll just keep reading. I'll do another course. Find a new guy. Just keep reading. Or are you going to get it right? You're going to get the foundation right. You're going to set up a map. There's a goddamn procedure. If there's money coming in, there's a possibility. It's just a math formula. You just either add zeros or take zeros away. But the process of becoming proficient on the battlefield is doing the same thing over and over and over and over. And 18 and 19-year-old children do it to defeat the enemies of the United States. You can do a fucking IRA. Is it that hard? Can you compare it? And so if the military gave me anything in life, I'm not the guy that goes around wearing the vet hat. I don't want your fucking discounts. I don't take the thank. I don't want any part of it. I'm not mad. But I served my time. I did my crusade. I went over there to the Middle East. We did what we do. And I came home. And this shit's over. And I don't need a clap on the back. None of that. It's done. But what it made me realize is that most people don't understand what it means to be committed. Because they've never been committed to a level where you've decided, yeah, I'm fucking gonna die. But you know what? We're doing it. And they do the Private Lyle thing. And they sit down and they contemplate. You settle it now. I spoke with a 71-year-old woman today. That's what prompted this message. I spoke with a 71-year-old woman today. And as we're speaking, she sounded very smart. And shit, the president's 71. I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? You keep saying about you're being broke. She was going to buy one of my books. And I said, you're broke. After 71 years living in the United States, how can you be broke? Were you not an investor? And she said, oh, no. Way too risky for me. I said, ma'am, what was the fear? What was the fear? She said, fear of losing.
Uh-oh.
Fear of losing. Ma'am, how much money do you have? She said, well, I don't have any money. Do you get it? The thing she feared happening happened because of her actions. She did the private Lyle. Became the bad luck omen. There's always a fucking recession. It's always going to turn down. Oh, they're printing fiat money. The tariffs. Trump's going to destroy the world. Obama's going to destroy every conspiracy, other bullshit, mental masturbation tool to keep you from actually taking action so that you have an excuse for what you're not doing, which is building wealth. Oh, Gerald, but when the economic... Oh, the market's just too high. It's just so high. It's just too high. Really? What was it 3 years ago? And 3 years before that, and 3 years before that, and 3 years before that, and 3 years before that. There's like literally less than 10% of the five-year periods in the U.S. stock market are negative. It's like less than 5% of the 10-year periods in the U.S. stock market are negative. Now, maybe the stock market ain't your game and real estate is, but goddamn, one of them's got to be your game. Something's got to be your game but talking. Something's got to be your game but paying debt and bills, paying everyone but yourself on the first. Boom, I'll pay you after I do a little investing. How about that? I'll get to you. Right now, I got to get to me. That's all I did. At age 29, I decided to completely eliminate debt. If I could dig out freaking landmines in Iraq, I think I can pay off some debt. I think I could deliver some pizza. I think I could walk some dogs, babysit, mow some yards. I think I could just get off my ass and make money and pay off bills and stop faking, because it was a complete bullshit fake. I didn't own the car. I had payments. I rented the house. I had more money on my fucking credit card than I had in my brokerage account because I didn't have a brokerage account. And so no matter how fancy your shoes or the video games or whatever the bullshit you have, you don't even own that. Net worth. What net worth? There's people don't even know how to calculate it. And at some point, you're going to get called on that shit, because the economy's real nice right now. But there's going to come a time when friends and people you know all around you, they're going to get laid off. They're going to get restructured. Technology's going to take it out. Boo's going to get in a wreck. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Boom, boom, boom. And you don't actually have money. You have things. Credit lines. But the actual wealth, like open the fucking treasure chest, boom, 300 grand, boom, right there, $300,000. What now? Because you know what, $300,000, that's not, I get it, that's not a fortune, but you know what it makes? It makes about $20,000 to $30,000 a year with you doing nothing. Shit, you could deliver pizza for the difference and spend the rest of your life as a part-time pizza man. Like, that's the power of such a small sum. And people calling to Dave Ramsey almost every single day to say, hey, Dave, I want to let you know about my debt-free screen. Paid off $174,000 in 3 years. Yay! Nobody ever calls in and said, hey, Dave, didn't have any fucking debt. Went from zero to 300,000 in 4 years. Piling up chips. I own a portfolio of 25 stocks and I own 5 rental properties. I'm fixing to buy an apartment building. That call never happens. But I've heard people call and literally say they paid off $1 million in debt in 7 years. Imagine if he didn't have the fucking debt and just started investing. What if you hustled that hard for that? What if you could work as hard to take out a landmine in the middle of a battlefield with people shooting at you? Or you could be like Private Lyles. Just look at pictures. Be like the old lady. Let fear and decision and doubt keep you from doing what you know you're supposed to be doing. But you're afraid, I might lose. And by the nature, fear every day, you're losing. Or maybe you're not. I hope you're not.